We're equal with all others. We There's no level. You know, I love some secret societies. There's these steps. There's these levels. There are these people that are always one or two steps ahead of you. No, in Christ, we're saved. Now, we might not be fully sanctified, but that's not something to hold over. That's something to help with. Paul wrote, I got ahead of myself. We are equal with all believers. Here's the deal you want to know. The plane is level at the foot of the cross. Someone's not on a higher hill than you are. You're not in a rut that someone else isn't in. Galatians says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. And let me tell you why that's important. The society in which Paul was writing isn't as politically correct as ours. In fact, a good Jewish person would pray, God, I thank you for who I am, and I wasn't born a woman, or I wasn't born a Gentile. There was an attitude of, I'm better than you. Slave to free, male to female. It's very unheard of that women owned anything. Now, there's a few really interesting examples where they did, but women were chattel. Even today, where is David Lawrence in? Dubai. In Dubai, he has no word in a court. He has to find someone of that nationality to go to court. If he had to go to court, he has no standing because he is a heathen in their terms. A woman has no place in a court. A man can go, you're out. But in Christ, we are all equal. There is no racial division. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's no social division. There's no slave or free. There's no gender division. There's no male nor female. Now, I'm not saying that those things don't exist, and I'm not saying, and I'm about to really step on some stuff here, I'm not saying that there's things are same between male and female. We are absolutely different. I don't think I could go through the suffering of childbirth. God uniquely made women for that role. A typical wife, mother, not only knows her child's name, but knows all their friends, knows the teacher's names, knows what subjects they're taking, knows what time they eat lunch, knows what time they get home from school, where the typical father is vaguely aware that there's some small adults running around their house. And that's a little overstatement. But y'all are nurturers. Women are made as nurturers. Men aren't very good nurturers. I'm told that there's a right hemisphere and a left hemisphere, and women use both, and men tend to stay in the left hemisphere. So there is a difference in us that's unique, and we're completed in each other by the grace of God. But as far as Christ is concerned, that's not important. Your relationship with Him as Father is what is important. So we're His favorite children when we're in Christ. We are fully equal when we're in Christ. And here's the one I like. When we're in Christ, we are blessed to be a blessing. If we go back to the inheritance of Abraham, the word was that I'm going to bless all nations through your seed. Now, the Jewish people kind of forgot that, and they got in together and they said, to heck with everybody else. And so they kind of blew it. But see, we're not blessed just to be sons or daughters. We're blessed to carry the word, to carry the hope, to carry the story to others. Most preachers, when they get into talking about this inheritance that we receive, people go, oh, yum, and turn them off. Because they know in the by and by, and eventually in eternity, you're going to receive your reward. No, this inheritance. Hear this. Inheritance are for the living. They're from the dead to the living. We don't inherit something in the next life. That's given to us. We inherit in Christ today to walk in Him. It is an ongoing. I remember a number of years ago when my mother died. There was a small inheritance. In the inheritance, it didn't say Betty and Patty and David can have this when they die. No, it was to share and share equally in the now. That's what an inheritance is. We've received an inheritance in Jesus Christ. It is for the now. It is to help us now to walk in the things of God and in the ways of God. It's not, well, when I die. Guess what? When you die, you're not going to care about your inheritance. It's important for us to know that there's a responsibility for being baptized. There's a responsibility and a reward. We're His favorite children. We have equality one with the other. And we're to be a blessing to others. Baptism, saints of God, call for a decision. It calls for obedience. It calls for quality of a new life. Jesus was baptized that He might identify with us. Hear what Hebrews 4th chapter 14 through 16 says. Therefore, since we have a high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we, yet without sin. Let us then go to the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help. To help us in our own time of need. To quote Father Ed again, here's your take home. Take home. Jesus has so identified with us that we now can approach Him with total confidence that He will understand us and that He is interested in all we do in our life. We all have the phone, the red phone that we can reach and call Jesus. And He will answer. Jesus' identification with us at His baptism and more completely at the cross at Calvary gives us permission to go to the throne of grace. Saints of God, hear this. You don't need a holy man to pray for you. Now, there's value when others pray for you because now you got prayers of agreement. There's values when others pray for you because at times we can't get the faith ourselves and we need to lock onto someone's faith. And I've had people pray for me and I'm saying, God, what they said, I believe that. I'll go with that. I can't get it to myself, but I'll get it to them. But you have the right, individually, to go directly to the throne of grace. Don't stop, go. Don't let the guards at the gate stop you. Push open the doors and walk in and say, Abba, Father, Daddy, God, I'm here and I'm hurting. And I believe you'll answer my prayer. That's what today's about. Jesus, that's why we celebrate today. Jesus so identified with us that the way is open. Day or night, he neither sleeps nor slumbers, that we can cry out to him. So therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, that we might receive mercy in our time of need. Because Christ loved us, we all walk to the cross and find a level playing field. Saints of God, relish in the excitement that Jesus said, and I know he said it because it's in red in the Bible. Jesus said, those things that I've done and greater things will you do in my name. We have got to push the envelope of our faith. Most of us haven't even done the things Jesus have done. I've seen a dead man raised, but I've never raised one. Greater things than Jesus has done. Oh, we got to exercise our faith. Part of that word today that I got from Lanson was exercising my faith, because when you get out there, you start to wobble, you start to wave, you look at the waves, you wonder, was that my flesh? Did I say something? No, God is true, and he will not leave us, and he will not desert us. He will not leave you. I don't care what things are going on. God didn't desert you. Man might have, but not God. There's power. Back to that song, there's power in the name of Jesus. I invite you this morning to walk in that power. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand to your feet.